Hare Krishna. So Krishna is speaking about himself in various verses that we've discussed and we'll be discussing. Wonderfully, Krishna is talking the truth about himself. Because only when we know Krishna, we have some hope to break the cycle of birth and death. And keeping that in the mind, Krishna is instructing Arjuna in such a way that people in general like us can understand. So in the previous shloka that we discussed, Krishna said that I have created this Chaturvarna system, but then I am not part of it. He's very clear. And he continues the same theme even in the next verse that we're going to discuss today. Text number 14. It goes like this.
Namam karmanti lim karmani limpanti. Name karma phalespriha iti mam yobhijanati karma bhir nasabhadyate.
So here Krishna is saying, namam karmani limpanti. So he is saying that there is no work that affects me, limpanti. And then he says, name karma phalespriha. And I don't expect any fruits of any of the actions or any of the results. Yes. And then he says, iti mam yo bhi janati. Anyone who understands this fact about Krishna, karma bhir nasabadhyate, such a person will not be entangled in the reactions of the fruitive work. He'll not be entangled in the actions and reactions of karma, basically. That's what Krishna is saying. So Krishna is free. He's not bound. And similarly, the person who understands Krishna, even he will be unbound. This is what is the essence of this particular shloka. So let's see different aspects given in the purport. The king is not subject to the state laws. Similarly, the Lord, although he is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. So the king may create various laws, and each and every citizen has to follow that. If not followed, there will be punishment. Similarly, when it comes to Krishna, he has made, you know, various laws. And in fact, he is the creator, so he has created everything in this material world. And to set the things in motion and set the things right, Krishna has also created some laws that has to be followed. And each and every living entity is expected to follow the laws which are set forth by Krishna. Now, when the king, he is making laws, it's not that he's supposed to follow. It is up to him. Similarly, Krishna, it's up to Krishna's sweet will that he wants to follow or not. But he is not bound, he is not forced that he should follow. He may follow to set an example, like he was telling in the previous shlokas. But then there is no mandatory rule on Krishna that even he should follow. Then here it is said, he creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruitive results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. Now Krishna creates this material world and then it's in motion. We might have seen this small kids playing with a toy. Now you give the key to the toy and then remove the key and the toy starts moving. So Krishna has already given that key and then he just left it. Now the entire material world is working. So he's aloof. He's aloof completely from the material world. If he is aloof, why are the living entities bound here in this material world? Because the living entities have the tendency, their propensity to enjoy, and they want to lord it over the material nature. They want to exploit the material nature. But Krishna does not have that. Because Krishna is Atmaram, he is self-satisfied, he does not want anything. So he need not seek enjoyment from cheap material things of this world. But living entities do. Yes. So that's what is the point mentioned. So living entities are bound in this material world. The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the workers, but the workers are themselves responsible. Now, when it comes to the proprietor of the company, the owner of the company, now he has set it up the entire firm and then he has recruited some people. And obviously some rules and regulations will be given. Now from his side, he has done whatever is supposed to be done. But then if the workers themselves decide to do something else, they will be responsible for that.
Yes.
It will not be the proprietor who will be responsible for the same. This is when another very nice thing about this. Here Prabhupada says that the proprietor never desires the low grade happiness such as the workers may desire. Because the proprietor is having something at a very high level. Be it on the material platform, but he is having something on the higher level. But the workers, they are still hankering for something low. Because at the lower platform, they want something a bit higher than you know, what they are. But then, when it comes to the proprietor, he is much, much higher in the material terms when it comes to the workers. So, that's what is given here. And another nice example that is given is, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth. Although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth. Amazing analogy. So, rains are falling everywhere. But then, rains are not responsible for different vegetations. Those are there. But without rain, such vegetations will not come. That without rains, such vegetations will not manifest. Right? So, for example, or to understand in our context, it's by Krishna's mercy this entire world is working, it's in action.
Yes.
But then he is not responsible for the actions of the living entities. Because the living entities are working according to their own sweet will. Not sweet will, their own free will. They're working. And when they're working, so Krishna is not responsible for that. But at the same time, if Krishna does not set this world into motion, then what living entities can do?
Right.
Such a wonderful analogy, you know, to meditate upon. So, it's very clear that living entities are engaged in their respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. So, Lord has not told the living entities do sense gratification. It's the living entity's desire to do sense gratification. He wants to enjoy. It's not that the Lord has made him to do that. So, Lord, he is free from or he is aloof from material actions and reactions. He is not involved. So, what Lord does is, he creates this entire creation and then the energies of the Lord work in such a way that everything is set in place in action. So, that's what is happening in this material world.
Yes.
So, Lord is that personality who has created, but he is aloof. He is not under the three modes of material nature. He is not subjected to any laws of this world. This is a very, very important point. And a simple analogy again to understand is, we have vehicles on the road and when there is a red signal, all of them stop.
Yes.
So, a person on the road, he might tell that why the plane is not stopping. Because the laws are different.
Yes.
So, the laws of on road is not applicable for the vehicles on the in air. Similarly, the laws on the road are not applicable to the Lord.
Yes.
In fact, no laws are applicable to the Lord. Here at least we are saying some laws will be there. Even in the air, some laws will be there. But when it comes to Lord, there is no laws applicable at all. He is independent. That's what is the point that is made again and again. There is no work that affects him. And he has no intention or no expectation from any fruits of any of the actions which happen in this world. So in this way, Lord is a non-doer. There's no question about that. He's completely free, and he's completely aloof from all the actions and reactions of this world. The created beings are many of such varieties, like demigods, human beings, lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good or bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and regulations of the modes of nature, but he is never responsible for their past and present activities. Many times people ask this question, that, oh Lord, why are you doing this to me? Oh, Lord has no other work or what? Yes, he is busy playing his flute, he is busy playing, you know, with his gopa friends and gopi friends and the cows. You know, he is not here, you know, to get sadistic pleasure by giving pain to the living entities. It's our own karma that we have done in the past. The papa and punya of the past, they are manifesting now in the form of enjoyment and suffering. In fact, it's a very nice thing to note that whenever some good thing happens, at that time we'll not ask, why me? But when something goes wrong in our life, then we have a question, why me? Yes. So it's very clear that Lord is not involved into all this. It's the living entity's own choice. We have chosen what to do and what not. Options are available. N number of options are available. But we choose one of them and we start doing that activity without realizing, is it going to lead to papa or is it going to lead to punya? And eventually the person has to enjoy or suffer. Mostly in this world, suffering is more than enjoyment. That's the fact. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. The Lord gives him facilities through the agency of material nature, the external energy. Now what to do? Lord is bound by the love, by his own love for all the living entities. So whenever a living entity desires something, if suppose it is supported by his own karmic credits, the Lord supports, Lord gives the facilities, okay, chalo, do it. So if you remember the triangle that we have talked about, the living entity, soul, super soul and prakriti, material nature. So soul will desire, living entity will desire. And Paramatma or super soul, he will sanction based on the karma credits that is there in the account of the soul. And then when he sanctions prakriti, the material nature, she will manifest the desire. She will materialize the desire. Yes. So in this way we understand that Lord is not the one who is responsible. He just facilitates. Okay, you want to enjoy, chalo, no, I'll do it. Like any other father. So even if the child is going crazy and has crazy desires, out of love he might fulfill those desires. And that's what Krishna is also doing. The person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness. And thus, he is never subjected to the laws of karma. One who knows the supreme truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness. So anyone who understands, these are open secrets, intricate secrets. Anyone who understands these secrets, such a person is actually liberated. Because when he understands the Lord, how he is aloof from the material nature, how he has set this world in action, and still he remains aloof, etc., etc. All these different points, if someone realizes, then what will happen? He'll get that faith on the Lord. That yes, he is that personality who is unbound. And he can untie the ropes which I am tied in. He will get that faith. And when he gets that faith, he will surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He'll take shelter of the Lord. He'll not complain anymore. And after that, what will happen? Lord will do the rest. Lord will help the person to get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So in this way, when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also, we need to understand that how this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also completely aloof from this material world. It is transcendental. It is completely spiritual. So every day when you are coming in touch with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what is happening? We are associating with Krishna who is unbound, and by the mercy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, who is non-different or which is non-different than Krishna, we will also get purified and finally become qualified to break the cycle of birth and death. So associating with the Maha Mantra every single day is what is expected in the age of Kali Yuga. Because Maha Mantra is non-different than Krishna himself. Naam and Nami, they are non-different. This is what is the point that we need to understand. And anyone who understands this and takes the process very seriously, sincerely, that person will reap the benefits of this benediction that Krishna has given. That just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Yes. So now after speaking all this, the question might be, okay, I understand that you are aloof from the material world, and then you are the non-doer, you don't expect any fruits in this world, etc., etc. So what am I supposed to do now? Suppose Arjuna has a question, what am I supposed to do now? Obviously he knows that he's supposed to fight, but then still, if he has this question, what am I supposed to do now? Krishna is going to answer this question in the next verse. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.